Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Roger North, and this is True North. Today's show is going to be on eugenics. Basically, this is the plan to kill off most of us by the globalists. If you're at all familiar with the globalists in their own writings, they often talk about the reduction of the world's population to approximately 500 million. It's currently over 7 billion, so we're talking about 6.5 billion people. For example, the Georgia Guidestones are an example. You can look in the Biodiversity and Agenda 21 treaties, and they talk about different ideal levels that they want the population to reach. There are many other documents where they discuss this. You can even just Google in the term like 500 million world population, and you will have no shortage of documents that will come up. Today we're going to be discussing this with Max Egan of thecrowhouse.com. That's thecrowhouse.com. Max is a musician artist who writes about what is really going on. His website, for example, has got a headlines where they talk about a lot of issues that are related to eugenics, because eugenics actually means good birth, and it actually touches virtually everything that the globalists do in one way or the other. And we're going to be discussing that with him, so we can go over the different ways that we are touched by eugenics. Just to give you some examples, he's talking about on his webpage. If you go look at a lot of the wars, part of what they're about is eugenics. For example, Obama secretly extends U.S. combat operation in Afghanistan. If you go look at what Agenda 21 is about, the whole thing to force people off the seas, force people off the lands. Anyways, most of it's always about eugenics. With that, I want to welcome Max to the program. Hey, Max, how's it going?
Good, man. Good. Thanks for having me on. Pleasure to be here.
Good. I've been looking forward to this. This is a very big and complex topic, and I wanted to kind of go through with you and discuss with you your perspective on it, because, quite frankly, virtually everything the globalists do is in some way related to eugenics, to be quite honest about it. So I wanted to kind of get your take on it and what we can do and, you know, what's going on. So could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a radio host, filmmaker. I've been researching this stuff for a long time. I've got a website called thecrowhouse.com. You can find out pretty well everything about me there. Most of my life as a musician. It's all there on the website. Mm-hmm. But eugenics, I mean, it's a very, very important issue. And, I mean, you look at science and, I mean, there's nothing really wrong with science. There's nothing really wrong with technology. It's who controls it. And when you look at eugenics, we are seeing this. We're being modified from all angles. We really are. And a lot of people look at eugenics and they think, I mean, this could be a favorable thing. What's wrong with improving mankind, improving the human race? But you've got to look at what constitutes an improvement. You know, when you look at who's in control of the system, well, getting people to die young may be an improvement depending on the business that you're running. It depends on what you see as an improvement. You look at genetically modified cows that produce a lot of milk and produce a lot of meat and they're good to harvest. This is called an improvement as well. So you've really got to look at this. And it's happening from all angles. It's happening through the food we're eating, through the vaccination programs. The GM food and the GM crops is a big part of it.
Yes,
through electromagnetism. It's coming from all angles, and it's being promoted as something that should be quite attractive and something that will, you know, enhance mankind, but it's really a very insidious agenda that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very important that we realize it's coming at us from all different angles, and you just like you're saying, it's like, for example, if you go to a conventional restaurant, it's basically impossible to not eat genetically modified food. I mean, I was planning, for example, after this, going to a very high-end restaurant near where I live, and yet even at this high-end restaurant, one of the most expensive in the city I live in, the items I'd order almost certainly would be genetically modified, even though, like I said, it's one of the best restaurants in town. And, you know, just like the electromagnetic radiation, the nuclear radiation, the ceaseless wars, Agenda 21, just the chemtrails. I mean, you know, everything that they're doing is maybe not everything, but virtually everything is in some ways connected to this whole thing of basically they want to create a world, you know, for themselves and for maybe a small group of of survivors of all of this flood of technologies being used against us. I think that's very important.
Well, yeah.
Also, a very important thing to realize is the problem is not necessarily technologies, but who controls them. It's something like vaccines. The actual technology of vaccines is a good technology. The actual idea of boosting immunities. But when you actually look what they put in the vaccines, like the mercury, the formaldehyde, they put in like caterpillar eggs. I mean, it's surreal what actually goes in there. If it was actually being used for its supposed purpose, not to say sterilize people like in Africa where it's come out, where they've been secretly sterilizing people through vaccines. And indeed, there's a lot of talk that a lot of the Ebola epidemic in Africa is actually due to the vaccines themselves. A lot of these ideas, in theory, are very good ideas, just like, communism in a lot of ways is a very good idea in theory. But when you actually look at how it's being applied, they become total nightmares and just because of people running them. I think it's very important that people understand that, and they have to really get there's the theory, and then there's the implementation, and if the people implementing are evil people, you're going to have an evil implementation.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people, when you speak out against eugenics, people think that you're sort of scared of technology, but like you say, it's who controls the technology. And when you look at who's running the eugenics programs, it's organizations such as the Rockefeller Foundation, and these people, oil tycoons, these people control the money system. They've done an enormous amount of damage to the planet already. So why would anyone think that they have humanity's best interests at heart? They don't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming at us from all angles. It really is. A big part of it is the food. And you don't know. Like you say, you go to a restaurant. A lot of the restaurants, their concern is aesthetics. They want to produce food that tastes good and looks good. So
mm-hmm.
they're going to be buying products that look good in the supermarkets and when they go shopping. So they're not necessarily shopping for organic food. And even if they are shopping for organic food, well, it's still possible to grow genetically modified food organically. So are they getting GM food? And people who eat things like potato chips, you just go and buy some hot chips somewhere. These are all made from genetically modified potatoes. They're all cooked in canola oil. So
Sure. They're
ultra bad for you. I mean, all of these things, just common snack foods that we get around the planet, are ultra bad for you. And there's a species of corn, for example, that causes sterility in animals very, very quickly. So you've only got to eat a few of these genetically modified corn cobs, and that's it. You don't produce children anymore. And you're seeing countries like India. There's actually fertility clinics opening in India now. Now, India's always had a population problem. They've always been producing massive amounts of children in India, and now they're having trouble producing children because of all the genetically modified crops that they're eating. And if you look at the tests they've done on animals with genetically modified crops, they fail to reproduce after three generations.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all it really takes. And this is how the population is being culled. It's coming at us from all angles. I mean, someone once said that no matter how conspiracy-minded or paranoid you are, what the government is actually doing is far worse than you ever imagined. And it's true. Now, we're facing a very, very difficult situation on this planet, and you attempt to tell people about it, and they say, oh, this is fear porn. It's not fear porn. It's people's failure to process light. That's what that is. You tell people there's all this negative stuff going on, and they say, oh, this is fear porn. Well, it's not. It's giving you an opportunity to actually deal with the problem. We're just alerting you to the fact that this problem exists. If you don't know the problem exists and you don't have an opportunity to deal with it, and if finding out about the problem is fear porn, it's because you can't process the information, so you are calling it fear porn because you're going into fear by looking at reality because you're too scared to take up the opportunity to fix this problem. That's what it's all about. People who label this sort of stuff as fear porn are basically sticking their heads in the sand. We face a serious situation on this planet, and we could heal it very, very quickly if people turned and paid attention to it. The problem is things like eugenics, because it's coming at us from so many angles, people don't believe that it's a reality. They just don't believe it's real. They don't think their government would do this. And so it becomes a conspiracy theory talked about by fringe dwellers,
Mm-hmm.
So I've been attempting to look at, I've been using the Middle East and all sorts of stuff. I think people are actually sick of me talking about the Middle East. But I've been using this to show people that we've got an opportunity here to rein our governments back under control. Because all of these problems that we're facing, eugenics, the wars, the destruction of rainforests, the pollution, the oil spills, everything we're facing is a result of us failing to pay attention to our own governments and clean up our own backyards. And so I've just been looking for anything that's going to provide an opportunity for us to do that. I mean, the eugenics problem is a very, very real problem, but it's one of the most difficult things to wake people up to, because people just eat their normal food, they just eat their stuff, they go about their day, and they simply cannot believe that their government would be doing all of this terrible stuff. So you've got to point out the obvious to them. You know, this is why I've been using Gaza and Palestine. I've been fixated on it for like 6 months trying to say to people, this is a war crime. And this gives us, if your government is supporting what Israel's doing in Palestine, it gives us the opportunity to rein our governments in and have them charged with war crimes. That's a good start. At least it gets them back under control, and that's what we have to do. We've got to get our governments back under control. Now, forget about talking about who they work for, that, you know, the banking cartels that control all of them. Realize that they provide us a doorway. They provide us a platform by which we can actually use the legislation that they bind us to against them to at least get the attention of the people. You know, even if we don't manage to prosecute them, we can at least get the attention of the people by pointing out the obvious to them. And that's what I've been trying to do. I mean, it's all tied in, though. I mean, it's all part of the same thing. All the wars in the Middle East, it's all about depopulation. It's all about eugenics. It's all about control, locking the people down, get rid of the useless eaters, and, basically controlling the entire planet. That's what it's about. Imposing our image, the Western image, imposing the Western image over the entire world and controlling everybody. That's what it's about.
I agree so much with what you're saying. I think I want to kind of highlight a couple of points. First of all, it's like no matter how bad you think it is, it actually turns out to be worse. I know Alex Jones, for example, you know, he says that oftentimes, if anything, he understates the stories. I know he also points out the whole issue of fear porn is whether we talk about it or not, it's going on. You know, it's like whether you talk about chemtrails, they're still going on, or whether you talk about, say, Wi-Fi radiation, it's still happening. It doesn't go away because we don't talk about it. You know, we're not getting out of doing something. This is, you know, I mean, it's kind of childlike thinking. It's like if I close my eyes, the boogeyman will go away. It doesn't work that way. It's like if your car is making some kind of a odd sound, ignoring it is not going to solve the problem. I've done that, and then, you know, a week later, I have a $500 car repair bill. Well, if I had dealt with it right then and there, maybe I could have had a $50 or $100 bill. So I think people
they need to pay attention. People aren't looking at what's caused them to disassociate from the system to begin with. You know, people who say this is not part of my reality anymore, I'm now living in this alternate community, or this is not part of my reality anymore because I've lost the name, I don't use the name anymore, you know, lose the name, win the game. So I'm not part of that reality anymore. We are, because you live on this earth. And the reason you did all of that work to do all this free man study and all the stuff you did was because this system's out of control. It's heading for the cliff and it's dragging the whole world with it, and you want to step out of it. Well, that's great. Sure. You've stepped out of it to a degree, but you're still living on this planet. And the point of it is that this system is dragging the whole world with it. There's nowhere you can go. There's no exit chute from this reality. You have to deal with this. If you're not going to deal with it, then you're part of the problem. And knowing that the system is as corrupt as it is provides you with the opportunity you need to stand up and say, hey, enough is enough. Because the people who are doing this are just people. And not only that, they're public trustees. They're our employees. These governments are our employees that are supposed to be managing our infrastructure for us in a responsible manner. And all they've done is reduce the earth to the state that it's in. So we need to pay attention to that. We've got to rein these people back in. Stop letting them destroy our habitat, destroy our earth, because we feel we have to go by the rules these criminals wrote on pieces of paper. I mean, what's that all about? Sure. We're constrained by their legal system, which is put there to protect them, not to afford us remedy, not to protect the earth, not to do the right thing. It's time mankind stood up and took the moral high ground in all that they do and just reined these criminals in, because they're all criminals. Every single politician on this planet, I mean, there's probably a few good ones, but most of the ones in power, these guys are criminals. Exhibit A, the earth. Have a look at the place. These guys have done it. And it's our failure to pay attention to these people that's created this problem. And saying this is fear porn, it's not fear porn. It's giving you the opportunity to stand up and be counted and pay attention. Lose your fear. Raise the frequency. Raise the vibration. Why are you afraid of these people? Why are you afraid of looking at all of this information and healing it. Because that is fear porn. What the fear porn is these people calling this fear porn. These are the ones who are in fear. They are so scared to look at reality, and they're so scared to step into their power and heal this that they have to call it fear porn and look away. And they're a huge part of the problem.
Yes, I think that's very right. I think what Huey Newton said, you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. And I know a lot of people, they say that they want to be positive, and I think, you know, that's being negative, but they're saying, you know, let's ignore unpleasant reality, because, you know, one of the things that comes out again and again is that unpleasant reality by its nature has to be dealt with first. You know, just like the thing, just a simple example, like with a car. You know, you're enjoying driving a car, you're hearing some kind of a noise in it, and you ignore it, and the problem gets a lot worse, and then all of a sudden maybe you can't drive the car 3 days later because you ignored the noise when you knew there was something wrong. And so when you could have easily fixed it for a few dollars, you end up by spending a few hundred or a few thousand dollars. And this is the situation we're in right now where the problems are rapidly getting a lot worse. I mean, I live near, I know you're in Australia, I mean, you know that large chunks, for example, of the Pacific Ocean have been killed probably by Fukushima. And, you know, and this is also part of eugenics, where people can't eat, where they're just systematically destroying the oceans. I mean, this, what's going on is so bad, and I understand people get afraid. I get afraid. I have times when I've had real issues where, you know, I've been very afraid, and I've just kind of retreat into my home and just kind of ignore everything for a little bit. But we still have to deal with it. I mean, we are here, and I think people need to really look at this, because it's unfortunate this is going on, but we have to deal with it. I mean, I think what you're saying is very true, and I've interviewed a number of New Age guests, and I've talked to them about these things, and they kind of poo-poo it, and yet they're still being affected by it. I mean, you know, it's like you can be as positive as you want, but you're still being affected by Wi-Fi and cell phone towers. You're still being affected by nuclear radiation. You're still drinking fluoridated tap water. You're still eating GMO food. You're still being hit 50 ways from Sunday, and I can see these people, they're not in the best of health. Because, you know, well, we have to kind of deal with the stuff. I think it's important that people are really alert to, you know, what's being said here. So, you know, I really appreciate this, because we're here to deal with these things, I think, at a very deep level. I think people need to understand that. So, I think people need to. Yes?
I think people need to add a more spiritual approach to this type of thing. I really do. Like, even with everything I just said, I mean, people won't look at this because of a failure to process light. You've got to really understand what you are and what this reality is. I mean, you're basically, I mean, everything in reality is made up of light and sound, if you really want to get down to it. Look at it from a New Age. This should be something New Age people can understand. If you get it down to its basic components, everything is made of photon light and phonon sound. All you are is a vehicle for processing light, and all information is light. That's all it is. And people look at this because they have a failure to process light. They see it as negative, and they go into fear. I have no fear. I don't get afraid of this at all, because I have no stake in the outcome. I won't be here when this whole police state is built. I'm 57 years old now. And this is a temporary reality that I'm in anyway. I'm only here for a little while. This is the blink of an eye in reality. So I have no stake in the outcome. This is an experiment in consciousness. And if humankind destroys itself, it destroys itself. That's not my problem. I can see the potential that humankind has, and I think it would be shameful for us to squander that potential when we've been given so many opportunities to remedy this situation. And all we have to do is process the light in the correct way. Realize that all of this is just information. And it's information. Look, there's a problem here. There's a mess here on the desk. Now that you know the mess is there, it's giving you the opportunity to clean up this mess. We don't need violence. We don't need revolution. All we need to do is change our perspective of who and what we are, what our connection to each other is, and what our connection to this earth is, and change what we do, change our perspective. Start operating according to moral parameters rather than legal parameters. Take the moral high ground in all that we do, and we could change the world in a day. You know, that's the thing. It's a failure to process light. People see this information as negative. They turn their back and say, oh, it's fear porn, because they go into fear because they don't know how to process light. That's the problem. You know, and they call themselves awakened, they call themselves this or that, but all they're doing is sticking their head in the sand and failing to step up to their responsibility to make this a better reality. Because I think we all have a responsibility to do that. You know, humankind could create the most incredible reality. We have so much potential. We are such an exceptional species on this planet. When you look at all the other species on this planet, we are exceptional because of what we can do. The abilities that we have to create an absolutely incredible world and be the most amazing custodians of this planet and help everybody reach the fullest of their creative potential is phenomenal. And we're squandering that because of our failure to step into our own power and our failure to turn and look at the situation on this planet and what we've allowed to be created through our failure to pay attention. And so we've got to pay attention. We've got to apply ourselves to this, and we've got to raise the frequency. Stop being in fear. Stop calling all of this fear porn. Simply step up to the plate and call a spade, and be honest in what you say. Say what you mean and mean what you say, and you can change the world. You know, it's up to every individual to apply themselves to themselves. You know, we're all waiting for someone else to come and save us, but the only person who can save you is you. And if you save yourself, then you save other people around you by default. And if everybody saves themselves, then we save everybody and we save the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a very important point. And the other thing is to look what, like one individual can do. And there are many, many examples where, where you have one individual and they're able to accomplish great things because they stand their ground and they just keep going. And they've got some little area where they're really focused on, where they're exposing this, or they're, you know, where they're, you know, bringing in some kind of invention to change things around. Like we might want to talk about, because the point is that there's always something we can do. There's a reason that they, you know, are so secretive and hide things so much, because they know that we ultimately do have the power, and, you know, at the same time, we've got to exercise the power, and we can't exercise the power if we don't acknowledge what's going on. And this is the thing, because I'm listening. You know, to another speaker, and they were saying that, to really solve a problem, you have to really understand the problem, and that the real key to getting the solution is understanding the problem in the first place.
Well, exactly. If you're not going to acknowledge that the problem exists, then how are you ever going to solve it? And all problems are opportunities. We have a huge opportunity here to fix the world. Now, all we've got to do is acknowledge that these problems exist and acknowledge what the problems are. This is just the greatest opportunity we've ever had in human history for mankind to be free. But too many people are waiting for a leader. They're waiting for a savior. There are no leaders. There are no saviors. We have to lead ourselves. This is why I do what I do. Nobody's leading me. I'm not following anybody, and I don't expect anybody to follow me. All I'm doing is speaking my truth. Now, I'm calling a spade a spade. I'll point the finger where it needs to be pointed. I won't do it out of hate. I'm angry. I'm absolutely angry. If I wasn't angry, I wouldn't do what I do. But I channel that anger into positive action, not into hatred. That's the difference, you see. And you've got to do that. You've got to be prepared to do that. That makes all the difference.
Yeah. I think that's very important, is that, and you know, focus on solutions. And the whole idea is you're pointing out what's going on to stop it. So that, you know, that way, because at the end of the day, this requires our acquiescence. It's like this. They're using our labor, they're using our brain power, they're using our money to enslave us and to destroy the planet. I mean, you know, where's the money coming from? Where's the wealth coming from? Where's the labor coming from? Where's the brain power coming from to do all this stuff? We're providing it. We're building our own prison. And, you know, and
well,
we have to... What?
No, the thing is, like what you say there is true to a degree. The labor is coming from us. The money, they create money from thin air. We think they're using our money, but they're not. They've just got us enslaved to a system of debt slavery. So our money just keeps turning over. What they're harvesting, see, people think they're harvesting our wealth. They're harvesting our money. What they're actually harvesting is you. They're harvesting your time, your energy, your labor, your soul.
Yes.
That's what they're harvesting. They create money from thin air. They have an unlimited supply of money. For every dollar that you spent trying to wake them up, trying to wake people up, they can beat you 1 billion to 1, and they can do it every minute of every day. They create money from thin air. What they're harvesting from people is us, our energy, our time, our soul. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd interject there with that.
Sure. Absolutely. This is why they have such immense wealth. what their system is set up. I mean, fiat money is basically where they simply it's bookkeeping entries. And this is like, for example, you look at what's going on in Europe and throughout the world, where these countries are supposedly deeply in debt, like Greece or Italy. What they're doing is they're simply creating money off thin air, saying that this country owes the money. I mean, like derivatives, actually, in the case of Greece or something, they foistered fake debt, money that never existed in any form, on these countries, and then all of a sudden they're going deep and they're having to cut up, services and raise taxes and do all these extreme things to pay back this fraudulent debt that never existed, money that they pulled off thin air. And you're right, what they're obviously harvesting is us. They're harvesting our energy, because ultimately real wealth comes down to energy, human energy. And money is just what they have developed as a way of effectively harvesting our energy.
Yeah, money's just a catalyst. It's the glue that holds the system together. You know, the greatest resource on the planet is energy. And the way money's created, the way government creates money, it just writes out bonds. It takes them over to the Federal Reserve Bank, and the Federal Reserve Bank says, okay, well, thank you for that, $10 billion in bonds. Now, here's $10 billion in cash. But because you're using our paper cash, you have to pay us interest on it. But that interest was never created, which is why everybody has to run on the treadmill. That's basically the way that works. But no bank ever lend any money to anybody. People create money themselves. When they go in and take out a loan, you go and take out a $50,000 loan, you sign your name on a promissory note, they take that and they give you their paper to use. They take your paper, they give you their paper, and they trick you into thinking that they lent you money. But they didn't. You created the money yourself. They just gave you their paper. And now they're saying because you're using our paper, you've got to give it all back to us with a little bit extra. So they just launder what you create into their possession. No bank ever lent 1 cent to anybody. That's not how banking works. Banking is the most misunderstood thing on the planet. But it's the glue that holds the system together. It's this debt slavery that holds the system together. But all the debt's fiction. And all these national debts that we owe all these debts to the richest people on the planet, the ones who created all the debts out of thin air. So we should cancel all these straight away. I mean, that would be the first move to fix this planet. Cancel all debt immediately. That would be the best thing we could start with and then move forward from there. But we've got to see the opportunities that all of these things are providing for us, all of these systems of control that are being exposed now. I mean, all the wars, all the corruption in the governments, all the corruption in the system. I mean, what just happened in Gaza and Palestine, this was a blatant war crime that all of our governments supported. This shows the lack of care and lack of responsibility and the lack of heart of all these people. This is, again, has provided us a huge opportunity to pay attention. So it's time that we did that, because if we don't, I mean, this eugenics agenda is going ahead. It's coming at us from all angles. There's stuff in the water, stuff in the air, stuff in the food. I mean, look at what you're eating, folks. Look what's in this food and all of this GM food. I mean, it's obvious that this is what's going on. And again, it's providing us with an opportunity to pay attention. And it doesn't matter if you go and build an alternate society. If you're going to ignore the situation that created the need for you to build that alternate society, then you're just allowing this whole mess to continue. And you can go and create your permaculture, beautiful Venus project, whatever you're going to do, your beautiful, perfect city with all your perfect organic food. But if the whole rest of the planet is growing GM crops and spraying chemtrails and polluting the ocean, how long do you think you're going to last? You can't get off this planet. There's nowhere on this planet you can go to escape what these criminals who are running the place are doing. You can't escape the amount of depleted uranium they're dropping all over the Middle East, which is going high into the atmosphere. All of this stuff. You can't escape any of this, no matter where you go. So what we have to do individually in each of our countries is step into our own power and not have violent revolution, but simply respect each other enough to stand up as a united community, point the finger at the politicians and call a spade and say, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. We know what you're up to, and we're not going to do it. Now, the biggest barrier we face to doing this, of course, is our police. Now, this is a huge, huge problem in all of our societies, because if we try to point the finger at our politicians and call a spade, we have the police come in and brutalize us. I mean, there are a lot of good police, but there's a lot of sociopaths as well. There's a lot of police that have been trained to believe that their whole purpose in life is to enforce law and enforce legislation, regardless of how corrupt it may be. And the role of police in our society has changed greatly over the last few decades. They used to be there to protect society, but now they're there to enforce legislation. And that's a really big problem. That's created a barrier between us and our politicians. And because they've, like in Australia here, for example, they've lowered the IQ induction level of police. They don't want anybody with an IQ over about 104. If you score too high on the aptitude test, you'll get rejected from the police department. So they want people with low IQs who follow orders, can't think, you know, for themselves very much, and they get them in this big boys club. They cover them with electromagnetic devices, which pump them full of frequencies, which make them aggressive, and they send them out there to enforce legislation. And that's a huge problem.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know in the U.S. there was a lawsuit where this guy was rejected for getting a police officer's job because he had an IQ over 100. And he found out that that was the official policy, and the courts, which are themselves very corrupt, upheld this because they don't want intelligent police officers. They want people, they don't want them too stupid because they have to have a certain level of intelligence even to follow orders, but they don't want them smart enough where they question orders, where they say, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? This doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
And I think this is a very important point. What?
Yeah, something else that they do. Something else they do is that they, sorry to butt in, but something else they do is that they'll take police officers from certain areas and they move them to other areas. So the cops in your town never come from your town. So they don't have any rapport with the community. And if they start to develop a relationship with the community, then they transfer them to another town. This is why they move police around the place all the time, so that they don't have actually any friends in the community, because they don't want cops who are friends with the community. They want cops who are there to enforce legislation. That's an important thing that they do as well.
Sure. Well, this is all part of the divide and rule, which is probably the most ancient con of the elites, where the whole idea is they play everyone off against each other. And another example of this, of course, I know, for example, in Britain, they've brought in a lot of police officers from, like, Romania and Poland and companies like that, especially countries which have been were under communist dictatorship for a long time. And in those countries, they're used to the police being very brutal. And you've got someone, say, from Poland, and I know, for example, the U.S., a large chunk of the military are foreign-born. And the whole idea is because also they want to make the army the police. And, of course, there's a militarization of the police going on around the world. I know there's a 1099 program, was called, the United States. And this has been, you know, very extensively, you know, talked about, because what they're trying to do is turn the police into the enforcers and to enforce whatever evil that they want. And you're right, because they do move the police around a lot. They're often getting them foreign-born, especially from countries where they have no democratic tradition, where you've got someone who's grown up, say, in Guatemala or Honduras, where, you know, basically the CIA overthrew any democracy decades ago, and they've had a bunch of tyrants, and they've never known freedom. And now they're in the U.S., and they're a police officer in a predominantly white area, and you know, they look at whites and they don't really like them, and they've been raised to hate whites, and now they're the police officer in this area. They're, you know, it's not even their native language, and they don't respect the customs, the traditions. And it's all being done by design to play everyone off, and this is why I like to open borders, for example. It's divide and rule.
Well, yeah, exactly. And you'll find that the society has also been constructed to breed sort of, you know, these type of individuals. I mean, you know, a lot of what we see in our society, single mothers having a hard time, the kids end up sort of rogue, and you grow up with a chip on their shoulder, they get bullied at school, all sorts of stuff like this. These make great candidates for police officers because they grow up with a chip on their shoulder. They're already kind of, you know, they've got a grudge against society anyway. Then you give these people a bit of authority, you give them a few weapons, and they can basically go out and do what they want. I mean, even what we saw in Ferguson with the shooting of that kid, I mean, whether he was a criminal or not, I mean, apparently he was. Apparently he was a pretty rough kid, and he'd been doing some pretty bad stuff. The point is that he was unarmed. He got shot, like, I don't know, was it 13 times or something? I don't know how many, it was 7, 13? I don't know. It was a lot anyway. And this is not acceptable. It's not acceptable under any circumstances. It's okay, he was a rogue kid. There's a bunch of cops there. You could have done it better, because you know it's going to turn into this. And this isn't just the only case. I mean, that's one that's been probably blown out of proportion to a certain degree, because they want public unrest. They want civil unrest. They want the public to rise up. This is what they want. This is why they're militarizing the police. This is because, you know, the posse comitatus, you can't put the military on the street, so what they do is they militarize the police. Oh, we're doing it to protect you from terrorism, and we're doing it to protect you against this violent society. But then you see when you go to these protests, it's the police that start the violence 100% of the time. So, I mean, the whole thing has been contrived. It's all been blown out of proportion. It's all been contrived. But, you know, it's not acceptable for police to be doing this sort of stuff. It's not acceptable for them to be doing what they're doing. And they're getting away with it because, you know, they are. And that's a real problem for us. It's like a wall of stupidity that's been put between the people and the politicians, which is the police. And it's because when we try to approach this, we do it through violent protests. We don't want to be doing it through protests. Protests don't really serve much. You don't need to go to a big rally. The only purpose of a rally really is to display solidarity. It's great. It gives confidence to people because they see, well, there's a lot of other people who think the way I do. But ultimately, it doesn't really achieve anything unless you've got something to go along with from that point.
Okay,
so
Max,
what we need to do is...
I have a call. Would you like to talk to the caller?
Sure.
Okay. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, this is Nathan in Orlando. I'm sitting here listening to your conversation.
Okay.
And I called in back when you guys were talking about, I'll tell you what triggered my mind, but something I wanted to clear up that I heard your guest talking about that keeps being mentioned, but on this guy in Ferguson, everybody keeps saying, well, the cop should have called and waited for backup. He had already, when he confronted him before, when he called for backup, he'd already gotten a call to respond to this guy. So by the time all the events with him happened, with the struggle and getting out of the car and shooting him, the cops were already showing up at that point. So I've heard people say, well, he didn't have time to. He had already called for backup before he got it, before the scuffle ever started. But anyway, on what you're talking about, I've noticed something here, like in the Barack Obama administration. He has a guy named John Holdren, his science czar. He thinks like what you're talking about we need to get rid of a large part of the population. And what's really crazy is, you know, he worked doing the same thing, but under the title of advisor of Mitt Romney. And when you bring that up, people get quiet. It's like they can criticize Obama, but they can't criticize Romney. This guy, John Holdren, you ever read about him, and you'll see he's for this, get rid of, let a bunch of people die off philosophy.
Yeah.
But on the thing, you're talking about cops. I ran into an experience several years ago. I'm sure you guys remember the story. Terry Schiavo, the lady that was on the feeding tube. I'd heard people saying she was in a vegetative state, and I had donated some money to the family's law firm because they would, if you donated money, they would send you a video that they had just recently made of this, the mother and the father and the family in the room with this lady, so that you could see she's not on feeding tubes, you know, like in a vegetative state. This lady's up. She's moving. She's, you know, communicating with her family. She was really, really good. She could communicate real well with her mother. Her dad had a little, you know, snub beard, slight beard, and whenever he would hug her, he would tickle her. But I was talking with a cop, and I was asking the cop, how could you, there was a police officer in that room, ordered by a judge to stop and arrest anybody that tries to feed this lady. And it was cops sitting at her bedside for the last days of her life, and and I asked her, how could you sit there watching this lady die when stop someone from trying to give her food or water? And he goes, well, you don't understand the law, and if a judge orders you to do that, I said, yeah, but you made an oath to the Constitution. What is higher, the judge or the Constitution? And I asked him, what would you do if a judge ordered you walk over there and shoot that man? And he said, well, a judge wouldn't do that. And I said, a judge ordered a man to stand in front of this lady and not let anybody give her food or water.
Wow.
And he goes, man, you don't understand. You don't understand what it's like to be under orders. I said, well, I thought you were under the Constitution.
No, I think what you're saying is very right, because this is a very important point. Place people in the military and police, they lose their humanity, they lose their sense of common sense, of common decency, where it's like, if I'm ordered to do something, I have to do it, even though I know it's immoral, even though I know it's wrong, and the whole system is set up to condition people to basically lose all sense of decency and morality.
Yeah.
And, you know, to become psychopaths, quite honestly, and, you know. And I think this is a very key component of how they're able to do this. Max, would you like to comment on that?
Your guest had mentioned, and I'm going to hang up on this, your guest had mentioned in his country how they pick the people with the lower IQs. And I got a low IQ. I'm not the smartest one on the ship. But one thing I did, and I served in the military, and I'm not a scholar, but I know what the Constitution says. Mm-hmm. I can sit down and have a pretty thorough disagreement or agreement with someone on many points in it, and this was the thing with this officer. He made an oath to it, and I don't even think he knows what it said.
You're probably right.
And that was the funny. And I also figured this out. I don't think I could disagree with him to any length on any issue where at some point he would pull rank on me. If he can't beat me in the debate, he would use his authority to shut me up.
That's absolutely what I do, no doubt.
But anyway, I'm gonna hang up and keep listening. And that there's pretty much. Thank you.
Thank you, Nathan.
Goodbye.
Okay. Okay. Bye. Okay, Max, do you want to comment on it? Because I think what he's talking about is a very key point about these people are dumbed down, and they've lost kind of touch with their morality and their humanity, really.
Well, they do. You know, you shouldn't obey any legislation that causes you to step outside your moral compass. I mean, what the officer should have done was go and arrest the person who gave him the order. Now, you're arresting me. You're ordering me to break my constitutional oath. You're ordering me to basically let someone die, and ask him the question, officer, what would you do if this was your mother? And you'd been told to sit here and prevent anyone from feeding your mother.
Yeah.
Would you allow your mother to die simply because someone had ordered you to do so? Now, people have to look at what they're doing. You have free will. You have freedom of choice. And if an order is immoral, you have a moral obligation to break that order and to take action against the criminal who ordered you to carry out this crime against humanity, because that's what it is. It's a crime against humanity, regardless of what any legislation says.
Sure.
Now, legislation is just words on paper. It's not real. It's fiction. It just was made up. And that's the problem, is that we have psychopaths who have constructed a system, and so the morality of the psychopaths has become the morality of the system, and everybody is forced to operate according to psychopathic parameters. And people don't question these parameters because they've been trained not to think about it, to believe that it's all about orders. You can't break orders. You have to have hierarchy. You have to have control. And it's rubbish. It's training. And it's brutal. It's brutal, and it's designed to discard humanity. That's what it's all about. And this woman's a perfect example of it.
Sure. Yeah, that is a perfect example. It's a really very painful story. And I appreciate the caller sharing that, because what it comes down to at the end of this is, you know, this is what the dumbing down of education is about. Everything connects. And one of the things I try to do in my show is talk about how different things all connect. For example, you've got Common Core, where 2 + 2 equals basically whatever the person in authority says it equals at that moment. Then they can change their mind, and 2 + 2 is 5, 7, 13, 412, whatever. And the whole idea is where people, they no longer have their own moral compass. They no longer do their own thinking. Someone tells them that even though you got someone who's viable, who could survive, that they shouldn't be fed. I mean, you've got this guy who's sitting there. I mean, think about the waste of taxpayer dollars. Here's a full-time officer they're paying probably overtime to, who's sitting there 24/7, or he or other similar officers, to prevent this woman from being fed. And, you know, how far down you have to fall in loss of humanity, loss of common sense, loss of decency. Because at the end of the day, someone actually has to carry these orders out. And, you know, and what these people also don't get is that if this thing goes on too much further, they're going to all be replaced by robots. I think the elites are getting to the point where they know their orders are so insane, so horrible, you know, especially what they want to do, not what they've already done, but what they want to do, that they feel they can't get anyone to carry it out, so they're going to simply have robots do it. They're simply going to have computers do it. That's where they want to take this. And, excuse me?
Yes. I mean, they're doing that with the drone strikes. They're doing that with the drone strikes now, kind of sending in robots to take people out. You know,
they still have humans probably running them, but they're making them totally autonomous. And, you know, this is why, you know, we're moving to an unbelievably insane world. And we have to acknowledge this before things get even worse. And this is why, you know, I mean, I do a lot of things other than the show to encourage people to speak out and do what you can to inform people, make them aware, and do what you can to oppose this, because we're rapidly going down the drain. Things are getting more insane by the day. And just like that, but where, you know, where people, they're being instructed where they're not supposed to use their own thinking, their own morality, their own decency. If they have a court order somewhere, someone tells them to do something, they go do it, no matter how morally abhorrent it is. And this is how it's actually being implemented. But to a bunch of people like that police officer who's sitting there, you know, making sure this woman starves to death, basically. And, you know, we have to look at our own responsibility. We can say, you know, the elites are doing this and the globalists are doing that, but we're the ones actually implementing it. They're not the ones doing it. They're only a handful of people. At the end of the day, they need us to do the dirty work for them. You know, I mean, you take someone like Henry Kissinger, he's not personally, you take like that judge who ever ordered that. Those guys don't have the guts to actually go carry out their own evil, but they get someone else to. And we've got to stop carrying out the evil. And I think this is a very important point. We have got to stop carrying out the evil because, you know, if it was just the people who are in power, there's just a few thousand of them at most. They couldn't possibly do all this. They need us to do the dirty work for them.
Well, yeah, non-compliance. And I've been saying this for years. Non-compliance is how to deal with the system. The thing is, you know, when you're bringing this information to people to attempt to wake people up, you can't just cry out, you know, about eugenics and cry out about the chemtrails. I mean, because people look at it and they just go, this is conspiracy theory, this is fringe dwelling. They don't see it and they don't believe it. What you've got to do is point out the obvious to people around them in their society, the obvious of things such as, I mean, for example, you could show them the results on the GM crops. There's results you can get. You can get many, many articles on the internet that show the results of GM food, show what it does to reproductive systems, show that it causes sterility in three generations, all of this sort of stuff. You can send out these sort of information pamphlets to people, and you can basically point out the obvious. That, look, you know, the governments are, you know, all of our countries in a state of hardship at the moment. You know, there's personal debt through the roof. Everybody's losing their houses. I mean, it's terrible. There's been billions and billions and billions in America being spent on war while there's all of this homeless stuff going on. These wars are basically destabilizing the entire planet and bringing terrorism back on the United States. All the terrorism threat that America is under is a result of America's actions in the Middle East. So they've brought it all on themselves. But even with that, I mean, you've got more chance of dying from a vending machine falling on you in the United States than you have of a terrorist attack.
Sure.
You know, so they don't need to be spending all of these billions. You can point out all the obvious to people and get them to think outside the box a little bit for themselves, and then provide a doorway for them so that they can sort of go through and discover things like eugenics and all this sort of stuff for themselves. Because you can't just point out these problems to them. If you're pointing out problems to people and you're not at least providing a pathway to solution for these problems, then you're becoming part of the problem because you lock people into fear and they don't know what to do. They go, oh, shit, I'm not going to look at this. This is scaring the hell out of me because I don't know what to do about it. So you've got to look at things that are obvious around them and provide a solution for them. Like this is why I use Palestine all the time, because this is a war crime. This shows that all of our governments are guilty of war crimes, and we have legislation in our own countries we could use against these people if we all stood up and said, hey, we're not accepting this. We want we want freedom across the planet. We want actual freedom and democracy like you say you've been bringing to the world. We'd actually like to see this in place. We'd actually like to see some real democracy put in place instead of what you're presenting us as democracy, which isn't. It's simply a functional rotational dictatorship dressed with pretty colors. That's all it is. We just elect a different face to the same coin every year. We elect a new CEO for the corporate slavery system. And we're not, we don't want to do this anymore. It's ridiculous, you know. But we have to have respectful communities to do it. That's the problem. You know, we look for all of these, we look at all the problems and we try to address them individually. Like we try to address the chemtrails by putting out all these documentation on chemtrails, alerting people to the fact. Oh, that's all good. People need to know about it, but it's not going to solve the problem of chemtrails. Public awareness of chemtrails is not going to solve the problem. It's the same as public awareness of the corruption that started all of these wars. It isn't going to stop all the wars. Public awareness of the crimes of Israel isn't going to stop the crimes of Israel. What's going to stop all of these things is if the people unite together and respect each other enough to stand up and rein their public trust in, just public trustees in all of our countries. We need to regain control of what our governments are doing in our name, in all of our countries. Because all of the crimes that are happening on this planet, all the corporate rape, all the wars, everything, are a result of legislation put in place by government and the actions of government. These people are simply public trustees, and they work for us. And we have to reestablish our power over our own governments. And we can do it peacefully by uniting our communities in a respectful manner. This has been my message for 7 years. To me, this is the only solution that there is. The only other option we've got is to lapse into violent revolution, which isn't going to solve anything. Because if we haven't changed our head space and changed our heart space and changed our moral compass and changed our perspective of what the real problem is, then we're just going to end up back where we are. We've got to readjust our own thinking and apply that to this world, apply that to reality, raise the frequency, lose the fear, stand up and be counted, call a spade, don't be politically correct. Make your voice heard because the world needs you to, your children need you to, everybody needs you to. And that's what we need to do. Stand up and be counted and take the moral high ground for this earth, for the future. We have the greatest opportunity in history to do it right now. And that's what people need to do. And I really hope that people seize the opportunity. I've been getting very frustrated lately at people's lack of participation in changing things, because the world's just getting out of control. I mean, there's more and more people waking up. That's why the world is getting more and more out of control, because people are becoming aware of it, and so the governments are going hell for leather to try to create every type of instability that they can. You know, with all this stuff in the Middle East, with Ukraine, with Ebola, I mean, oh my God, it just keeps going. G20, the TPP, everything that they're doing, the coal mining here, the fracking, I mean, they're just going for broke, doing everything they can to destroy what we've got on this earth, to destroy all the abundance for humankind and lock us down into their little image that they want. And this is providing us a huge opportunity to fix the problem. So I really hope that people do, you know, because they're doing all this because people are becoming aware of the problem. Is people aren't getting motivated into action because they don't know what to do. They don't know what the action is. They're waiting for some leader to appear and lead them into action. They don't realize the action is themselves. It's in their own hearts. They've got to change the way they approach the world around them. The way I do, this is what I've done. This is why I do these shows. This is everything I do is to try to ripple this out with the people that I know. And I come on and talk to the people on these shows every week and do these interviews to try to help spread this message and this empowerment to people, because it's got to start with you. It's got to start on a grassroots level. There is no leader. No one can come and lead you. As soon as there's a leader, they'll take the leader out. There'll be some sort of organization formed around him. Then the leader gets pulled down and bang, the whole movement stops. Look at what happened to all the great leaders that stood up. As soon as there's a leader, they take the leader down. There is no leader. The leader is all of you, all of the people who listen to these shows. It's in your heart. If you choose to say what you mean what you say and take the moral high ground in all that you do and apply it to the world in which you live and apply it to the community in which you live, then you are making a difference, and that's what we need.
Yeah, I think you make so many tremendously good points there. I think the big thing is, when people say, what should I do? Well, you have to look in your own heart and figure out what you need to do. I mean, you want someone to tell you, but you have your own talents, your own interests, your own life situation. And, you know, but for example, if just to give an example of that gentleman, I'm using that term very broadly, who, you know, was ordered to sit there and make sure that that woman starved to death, if he'd said no. And, you know, the thing is, what we have to do, we have to each figure out, based on our situation, what is the right thing for us to do. And that's what we're talking about, being leaderless. Because a leader, the whole idea is a leader says, you do this, you do that, you do this. But it doesn't work that way, because we have to figure out, based on our situation, what we need to do. And so what people need to do is they need to go on their own intuition and figure out what makes sense. And, for example, one of the things I'm doing is doing the show. Another thing I do is, you know, like I said, I mean, just a basic level of, you know, taking care of yourself by eating organic food, by you know, promoting causes that are in line with what you believe was going to make the world a better place. We just have to figure out what we need to do, and, you know, and not get overwhelmed by just focusing on that, and just focus on what we personally can do in a small or not so small way. And another point I wanted to make is also is oftentimes a real problem is people don't want to understand, because it you know, there's a song by this group called No Doubt, which it actually is a – I live in L.A. County, and it's actually different, Orange County, which is about 10 miles away from me. And the song Don't Tell Me Because It Hurts is one of the lyrics. A lot of times people, you know, it once again gets down to fear porn. They don't want to understand because they don't want to be afraid. But we need to look at the stuff, but not get caught up in the fear. Then that can be hard. But we need to understand.
Well, it's like I was saying before. It's a failure to process light. People look at this and they go, oh, my God, I can't look at that. It's fear porn. Well, it's because they're failing to process that information in the right way. I look at it as opportunity. Oh, here's a problem. Really? Ooh, I can heal that because now I know it exists. I have no fear. I have no fear for the outcome of this system. I have no fear of the people who run it. I'm not afraid in anything that I do. You know, this is just, I do what I do because it needs to be done. And like I said, I have no stake in the outcome. If humankind destroys itself, it does. I can just see that we have a massive potential for something far, far better than this. And I think it would be very, very easy to change it if people simply woke up to themselves. And literally woke up to themselves, because they're asleep to the potential that they have. They're trained to believe that they're these meaningless little people in this society. They're consumers. They're useless eaters. They're this. They're that. No, they're all divine. They're all fantastic. They all have an unlimited potential if they would just wake up to themselves. And that's all we need people to do. You know, we could heal the world in a day. We really could if people wake up to themselves. That's the big issue.
I think that's very important, and just to look at what you as a person can do, or a small group. But, I mean, just like, for example, I was listening to an interview with John McAfee, and he developed some software, for example, to remove, spyware on people's cell phones. Now, you know, like I said, he has an expertise that most people do not have to do things like that. But the point is, you can see a lot of people are coming up with different solutions for the various problems. Like you can look at, people in alternative healthcare, so-called alternative, where they develop ways of say, cleansing the body, or they develop, they come up with herbal ways of helping people, you know, strengthen their mitochondrial DNA. The thing is, they have solutions that they're coming up with that are in line with their interests and with their talents and their skill set. And just like a John McAfee, just an example. And, you know, and other people doing things, for example, one thing is like local currencies, what they call, I think, LEOs, local exchange, I forget what it's called, but basically where they develop like a currency for the local area, like a barter system, where there's very small, very implementable things, and maybe people need to think about things at that level where they're not trying to solve all the problems of the world. One, they're not going to. But what can they do at a very local level? What can they do? I mean, forming community watch groups, or, you know, even doing something like this where, you know, it's something, it's doable, where, you know, just what little actions you can be taking and how you can be, making a difference at that level and not even try to take on all the problems of the world, even worry about them, but just what can you do at this level?
Well, the thing is, you know, basically, if you want to get down to the nitty-gritty of it all, the system is coming for everybody eventually.
I know.
And what's going to prevent that is a united community. So one of the most important things anybody can do in your community is to get to know your neighbors, become friends with the people around you. Even if you want to share this information with people, they're not going to listen to you until you become their friend. And you're just going to get into political arguments. You're going to get into all these different debates over conspiracy theories or whatever. People are going to be insulting each other, all sorts of stuff, because they have a difference of opinion. And they're going to do it because they don't know each other, because you never bothered to get to know each other first. This is a thing. I say to people, look, if you're baking biscuits, bake an extra dozen and give them to your neighbours. And we know the people down the road, we don't know the people next door. Get to know the people next door. We need all the people in our community to know each other and respect each other and know that they're all perfect in their own way. Because, I mean, I often go through this, you know, you're perfect at being you. No one can do you better than you. You're perfect at that. So why would you consider yourself to be any less than anybody else? And you've got to respect them for their own perfection as well. Their perspective is what makes them unique. Your perspective is what makes you unique. But ultimately, we all come from the same source because everything's energy anyway. Consciousness is energy. Everything is energy. Your consciousness isn't local to your body. You download a frequency that you experience as you. The guy next door downloads another frequency from the same consciousness that he experiences as him from his unique perspective. So it's all good. Where's the problem with everybody? Everybody just has their own perspective, and that's all good. That's the way it should be. That's okay to have your own perspective. But respect other people's perspective, even if it's different to you, even if it's wrong. Well, if it's wrong, how do you know it's wrong? Maybe it's only wrong by your perspective. Maybe your perspective is wrong. Let's just talk about it and see. Let's respect each other and have some dialogue and see where we can go with this, because ultimately we have the potential to create something fantastic simply because we're in dialogue with each other. So let's respect each other and see where it goes. And we can respect each other by understanding what each of us are. Each of us is simply a unique perspective, and that's what we are. And we have our unique gifts, our unique talents that we can apply to the world, and so does everybody else. So get to know your neighbors. That's the most important thing you can do. Create a respectful community, because then when the system comes for you, you've got this whole community that says, no. We actually employ you, and we don't want to do that. You know, and if you've got a whole community that does that, and then that ripples out to an entire city and an entire state and an entire country, because all these little communities all over the country are starting to act this way, and suddenly all the ripples join together, then the government has nowhere to go. You know, it's as simple as that. But if you don't have that respectful community and you don't have a strong communal response to what these tyrants in government are trying to do, then forget it. It's all over. You've got these little pockets of people trying to scream out fear, but no one respects anybody else. No one ever got to know anybody. So you don't have the strong communal response. So they get away with what they do because it's divided community, divide and conquer. That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. That's why they give us all these social parameters and you know, economic parameters. You know, how many rungs you've gained on the economic or social ladder, which football team you barrack for, which colour, which this, which that. They divide everything up into teams. And you notice every town's got two or three football teams for that one town, so that all the people barrack for a different team. Yeah, you know, I hang out with my group of people. It's all tribal. It's all designed to divide and conquer the community. And that's the key. So that's the most important thing anybody can do, is to get to know the people around you and treat them with respect. Treat them as you would have yourself treated, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, not necessarily how you would treat them, how they would have themselves treated. And you'll get treated how you would have yourself treated, you know, and give to people. Give to people. It helps.
Sure.
You know?
Well, a couple of points I wanted to make. Another call I want to bring in just a moment here. A couple of points, I know one of the very big things, for example, they talk about in Japan, they have a thing called Kaizen, which is continuous improvement. And the big concept is line of sight. It's like you look at what you can do to make things better that's right within your line of sight. Like, you know, I know it's a business example, but maybe you move a file cabinet so it's more convenient for, you know, the people who actually use it. And my point is that to look at what you can do and to get to know your neighbors. You know, and to look at what you can do at a very small level, like in your neighborhood and with people right near you. And so that we are coming together. Also thinking of that wonderful quote by that guy, Pastor Niedermoyer, who talked about, first they came for the Jews, and I wasn't a Jew, so I said nothing. Then they came for the trade unionists, I wasn't a trade unionist, so I said nothing. Then they came for the communists, and I wasn't a communist, so I said nothing. And then they came for me. And by then, there was no one to speak out for me.
And I think it's very important. And with that, I want to first of all welcome the caller to the show and see if he wants to add any comments here. Okay. Hello, sir? Hello? Okay. Maybe just wants to listen into the show. Do you want to add any comments, or should I just put you back on hold then? Okay. I'll put you back on hold. Anyways, I wanted to mention that because, you know, it comes down to, you know, they'll rule us as long as they can divide us.
Well, yeah, that's what it's all about, divide and conquer. And that's what they've succeeded to do very well in our communities. And so that's a clue. So you've got to break down that division. So you've got to find ways of breaking down that division in your community. You know, we've been given all these parameters by which to judge each other by, and none of them are our own. These are what I refer to as social pathogens, the way we live in these divided societies. We tend to measure each other by the size of our front door or by the type of jewelry we can give our wives and siblings, you know. So
sure.
It's not really what we're about, you know. And because we've been taught that time is money, we're kept internally on the treadmill, we've lost our ability to really be able to give to each other because time is money. If I do something for you, you have to pay me for it because time is money. And I have to pay to be alive, so therefore every action I do that isn't for myself, then I need to be reimbursed for that action. So it's removed our natural propensity to give to each other because I believe we're very giving creatures. I enjoy giving to people. I enjoy the feeling. You know, you do something for somebody and you give them something and that joy they get on their face, I love that. That energy that they exude to me is like food. I love this feeling of the joy that you get from someone when you give to them. You know, you give so much to yourself by giving to people. You know, I give to people and they say, you give so much. And I say, well, you know, I like the feeling it gives, so really I'm just selfish. I'm giving to you because I'm selfish. I like the feeling, you know. And that's the excuse I used to use to give to people, you know. But it is. It's a wonderful feeling. And we don't get to feel that and we don't get to give to people without the want for anything in return just because it's wonderful to give. Because we're locked into this economic system, we're locked into this social system, and we don't think that way anymore. We think that people who do this are weird, you know. So we actually set up a market stall once in Byron Bay. We set up a free of charge market stall, and we got everybody, all the other stalls, to bring stuff they didn't want. And anybody we knew, if you had anything, you didn't want any old clothes or any old toys or PlayStations or any of this sort of stuff you didn't want, bring it all to our stall, and we'll give it away to people who want it. And we had this stall there, and we had people coming through this stall and were amazed that we're giving stuff away and they'd take stuff. And we had other people come through who would look at these articles of clothing and, oh, wow, my God, this is wonderful. I love this. How much is it? And we'd say, oh, everything's free. And they go, free? Oh, that's sick. And they'd put it back on the rack and they'd run off, you know. So they just didn't understand giving. And then we had the markets come up to us and say, hey, you can't be giving stuff away at the store. And I said, why not? It's a free of charge store. And I said, no, there has to be money change hands. That's the policy of the market. You're not allowed to give stuff away. Mm-hmm. So there's a council policy that you're not allowed to give. I said, that's interesting, isn't it? You know, they go, well, obviously you're an idealist. We're not idealists here. We run commerce. So you can't have a free stall here at the markets. And they sent us packing. That was very interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting. I remember I heard something similar to that in, I believe it was Aspen, of all places, where I think they called it a free store. I don't remember the exact thing, but it was like, it was like this kiosk. It was like this, these bins where people would come in, they drop things off that they did not want. And other people could pick them up for free, and it was basically just self-service. It wasn't really, it was like outside. I mean, I saw a picture of it, and the same idea where people are simply, you know, giving things away, and where you know, we can have a different type of society set up in different ways. And I think there's a lot of things where people, you know, people are so kind of addicted to things being the way they are, they can't imagine they could be any other way, where they're so caught up. But I remember that where you know, I mean, I've many times, for example, give things away to Goodwill. I mean, they do end up by charging for them, but, you know, and it kind of makes me feel good. It's kind of the flow of life where it's like you have things, you don't need them or you don't want them anymore.
you give them away, and they help other people. In fact, I've given away a lot of books that way, because once I've read them, I get a certain point where, you know, I'd rather other people be reading these books. And I think that's part of the flow of life, and it can be a very wonderful thing. And people get so into defending the status quo, it never occurs to them that things could be a very different way. And this is, I think, a lot of the problem. Is it's like people think, well, we have to vote Democrat or Republican, you know, Labor or Tory or whatever, you know, false dichotomy there is. And we have to keep doing what we've been doing for decades that's been totally ineffective. And it's like, no, there are other ways of living. I think people need to at least aware of that so they can start thinking in those terms.
Well, yeah, they do. Absolutely, they do. And it's a huge problem. It's a huge problem. But, hey, you know, like I said, we've got massive opportunities here. We've got massive opportunities for change. And the fact that they're ramping things up so much and it's getting more and more in people's faces is giving us more and more opportunities. So it's a good thing in many ways. I have no fear of what they're doing. I think that we will get through all this, because I think eventually people are going to be forced to participate, whether they want to or not. They're going to be forced to stand up and have their voice heard. It's going to come to their backyard eventually. I just hope that they do it before more people suffer, because we've been given so many opportunities on the global stage to prevent it really coming home to us. You know, we've been given so many opportunities, like the opportunity we've got provided to us with Palestine is phenomenal. And if we can deal with that, then we can prevent it from coming home to roost. But if we don't, I think we may be in trouble. But you know, if that's the way it goes, then that's the way it goes. If human apathy is that great that it's going to allow it to go that way, well then so be it. I don't have any stake in the outcome, and I have no fear of the outcome. It'll simply be the next phase of human existence, whatever that may be. But I honestly believe that before it gets too bad, the frequency will raise. People will step up to the plate. I think the frequency is raising all the time, and I think people are realizing that that's what it's all about. It's not fear porn. It's people's perception of it as being fear porn. It's fear porn, and they have to raise the frequency and start taking responsibility for things here. But I think they will. I think they will do it. I really believe that's where we're heading.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I don't know how much worse it's going to get, because one of the things I am seeing, which is encouraging, seems the more they raise the stakes, the faster people get awake. And I'm even seeing, for example, you know, I can think of several relatives, and one particular I talked to maybe a week or two ago who has been basically, you know, politically apathetic his whole life, and yet I've noticed a massive awakening in him, and I was very pleasantly surprised, to be quite honest. And so I think they're in a situation where, you know, the basic plan of the globalists is to endlessly double down. You know, they get caught in a lie, they tell a second lie. They get caught in a second lie, they tell a third lie. You know, they get caught something doing something wrong, they cover it up. They get caught in the cover-up, they do a cover-up on the cover-up. You know, they get caught doing a false flag, then people start dying who report that. And they're in a situation where you can't double down forever. And the doubling down itself is causing the awakening. They're actually, I think, bringing about their own destruction, quite honestly. And I'm hoping it will happen without things getting too much worse. I do think things will get considerably worse, unfortunately, as little as I want to say that. But I do agree with what you're saying. And maybe it's what it has to happen. We have to be in enough pain to wake up. I mean, I find that oftentimes, the only way people get people to change is through pain, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, people don't pay attention until things come to their own backyard. Like you say, it is causing more and more people to wake up. I mean even with 9/11, I mean, that woke up vast amounts of people. It backfired to a large degree. And what Israel just did in Palestine, this caused to create millions upon millions of new Palestinian activists out of young people who never even heard of Gaza Strip before. So all of these things are backfiring. Everyone's seeing the system for what it is now. And that's why they're doing what they're doing. They're ramping things up so much with all this ISIS rubbish and everything that they're doing to create conflict and make sure that the people of their populations are terrified, keep everybody in fear. Oh, my God, there is this big Muslim threat coming. Everything's coming. Russia's coming. Ebola's coming, Muslim threats coming, what else can we cook up, what's going to happen next, alien invasion probably, whatever it is they can think of. They're doing everything they can to convince the population that we need them. We need you, we need you, we need our government to protect us against all these external threats, none of which actually exist, all of which have been concocted, and if they do exist, any of them that do, are a direct result of the West's actions anyway, and all the problems in the Middle East are a direct result of the West's actions. So, you know, they're doing everything they can, so they're waking more and more people up, like you say, and like I say, the wheels are falling off. That's why they're doing it. That's why they're ramping things up so much, because the wheels are falling off. And
the
people are realizing, look, it's a circus. It's a freak show.
Sure.
It's not even sane. There's not even any point of thinking of voting people in and voting people out. There's no political alternative. There's no political remedy to this. I mean, we can't buy our way out of it. What we've got to do is we've got to wake up to ourselves and realize that we're being played, you know?
Sure.
And these people are out of control, absolutely out of control. You know, war is terrorism, and all the terrorism, all the war comes from the West. So we've got to rein our governments in. Stop looking the other way, start paying attention, and rein these situations under control. Or each of us clean up our own backyard. But again, we need strong communal response. So you've got to get to know your neighbours. You've got to get to know your neighbours so you can start having political discussions with them. But when you're having these political discussions, you can't, as soon as they show some interest in your views, you can't turn on the fire hose and start bombarding them with information about chemtrails and eugenics and all of this stuff. Just get them to understand the political system's corrupt. That's a big step for a start. And get them to understand that your government's involved in war crimes. That's a huge step. And then get them to realize that they can actually take action to prevent these global war crimes from happening right now. We can stop all the wars, all the problems right now if we choose to step into our power and call a spade a spade. And we all have an opportunity to do that simply by the fact that the war crimes that have been committed overseas are absolutely brutal and absolutely blatant. It's not even a debate. It's the war crimes Israel are carrying out is so numerous. And there's so many of them, and it's not even a debatable point whether it's engaging in war crimes. And all of our governments are financing that, which gives us the opportunity to rein our governments in right now if people can just step back, take the blinkers off, and realize that we have a serious global situation here that we can remedy if we choose to participate. And that's why I focus so much on the Middle East lately, probably to the ad nauseum, to the extent that people are sick of it. But it's a huge opportunity, and there's Palestinian people and people in Syria that are dying right now that are providing us with this opportunity, and we're not paying attention to it. And I think that's disgraceful. We should be. We should be using this opportunity, because if we don't, as I've often said, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world, because this is a system of warehousing and surplusing human beings. It's coming to a town near you if you don't pay attention.
True. One thing I also wanted to emphasize, and you're right, what's going on in the Middle East, in for example, like you look at Iraq with Fallujah, where now they're bringing Fallujah worldwide, or where they're taking a lot of this real evil that they commit in the Middle East or in Africa, and they're exporting it to the rest of the world. And one of the important things I think is happening is more people are also waking up to the games that are being played. Like, for example, false flag terrorism. I did a program on this a couple months ago, where we really broke down how false flag terrorism is done, the signs of it. As more people are being awakened to how the government is playing them, how the actual scams are working, the mechanisms to how these things are being done. I did with Ole Damergaard about 2 months ago, and this is a very important thing that we understand. This is why doing a program like this, or the programs you've done and many other people are doing out there, and this is why I often mention websites like InfoWars. I mention that on virtually every show, because that way people can go there and they can follow the breadcrumbs. They can, get what information they're ready to get out. And this is why I think it's very important to often talk about websites that people have. So that way, yes, you can tell people about things generally, but as opposed to overwhelming them, you can say, well, here's other resources. This is why I often mention various websites like that one and David Icke, for example, and other websites, because that way people can take in what they're able to take in right now. They can always go there, and at their leisure, they can look through it and they can gradually get out of it what is there for them. Then, some of them maybe keep going back there and they get more and more information.
and things are often very well explained to them. They can see how logical and simple this is and how things really work without me trying to explain everything to them, which I could never do because I don't begin to have that kind of time. I'd rather, you know, do something like that, like I've distributed magazines from InfoWars or something like that, and then it's out there, and you're just simply putting information out there, and people who instinctively know that there's something going on will gravitate towards it, and they can gradually get the information at their own speed. And so that's why I often emphasize, you know, talk about these websites, because I think it's very important. And, you know, we want people, because they need to learn at the speed they need to learn it at and the way they need to learn it at. And, you know, we have to respect their processes. So I think that's extremely important.
Well, yeah, you do. And you've got to be helping them see solutions in all of this. You know,
sure.
We've got to be focused on solutions and focused on the opportunities they provide. And, you know, all of this whole global situation provides opportunity. People just have to get rid of their little boxed views that they have of things. Like, you know, forget about you know, ISIS. Forget about whether it's Muslim or Christian or Jewish or whatever. Forget about all the religious connotations. Forget about what all of your beliefs may be about who's right and who's wrong. And just realize that all war is wrong. War is the greatest crime ever. And we can stop all of it if we choose to pay attention. We really can. And we've been given an opportunity to stop it. We've been given an opportunity simply by rules that were written down by these people themselves after the last big conflagration they caused, World War II, when they wrote the Geneva Convention. They put down certain guidelines, and they called it international law, and they pretend to actually go along with this law. Well, okay, that's provided us with opportunities to rein in every single government on this planet that is supporting these wars of aggression, and that's all of our governments. It's a golden opportunity for all of us, because there is one government on the planet, regardless of what your religious beliefs or of who's right and wrong or whatever, there is one government on this planet that is engaging in brutal, blatant war crimes right now, and these war crimes have been supported by a number of other governments around the planet, and that gives the populations of those countries a golden opportunity to heal their countries. Because obviously you've got criminals running your governments because you've got people who are supporting war crimes, regardless of what your belief and you know, support of any country is. That's irrelevant. What is relevant is that war crimes are being committed and they're being supported by a number of prominent politicians around the world. This has given us an opportunity to heal this planet because it gives us an opportunity to rein our governments in. And once we have, we can address the many, many other issues that we're facing. All of these things are opportunities if they're looked at in the right way. And that's
well
why
said.
I focus so much on the Middle East, you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
People have got to put down all of their little views of all who's to blame for anything and just look at the bigger picture and the opportunity that it provides. It's a golden opportunity for mankind, and we need to step up to the plate.
Yeah. I love what you say about being an opportunity. I think this is a really important point. And I mean, interrupt you, but yes, we have to look at this as an opportunity. And that's also way out of fear, because, for example, I know Alex Jones talking about. He said, you know, he's talking about all the economic problems. He said, look, the way you're going to be able to make a good living, no matter what happens in the economy, is by focusing on solutions on how you can undo the damage. If you can develop products that undo the damage of GMOs, if you can develop products that protect people from, you know, electromagnetic or cell phone radiation. All these different things, if you're developing solutions that help people to undo all this damage or to undo at least some of it, you know, just like the thing I mentioned, John McAfee, where he has a software which helps you find spyware on your cell phone. So that way you can remove all these secret applications that are spying on you. And just to be focused on the solutions, and also it's also a way of being able to be able to help others and help yourself and be able to make a living. I think, you know, and I'm using that as an example of an opportunity, but also, you know, just the very fact that as we're all being assaulted with this stuff, coming together as human beings, whether we're black, white, or purple, and seeing that as an opportunity to reach out to our neighbors, because we're all in the gun sights of these people. At the end of the day, you know, they made very clear we're all the enemy, and that we can be coming together. We can use this, you know, problem as an opportunity, which is, you know, something that they talk about in New Age, but it's very true, where, you know, a problem is actually an opportunity if you look at it the right way. And by looking at it from that point of view, people can, as opposed to being afraid, they can be excited. They can say, my God, this is an opportunity for me to, you know, get to really know my neighbor. It's just an opportunity for us to come together. It's an opportunity for us to really communicate, for us to work together for common good. This can be an opportunity for me to maybe, you know, start my own business and make a good living. That we can look at it from that point of view as an opportunity. And so, you know, we can, I mean, the initial reaction might be fear, but then we can say, well, what can we do about this? And it's like, you know, for example, maybe developing ways of being able to, you know, cleanse a body of chemtrails or something, or, you know, whatever, where we can see that there's an opportunity that we can be, you know, taking advantage of. We can be coming together to stop, say, fluoridation of the water in our local community. And so that way,
yeah,
we can transcend the fear by focusing on the opportunity.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all opportunity, brother. Everything that we face is opportunity. Every problem is an opportunity. I think there's one language, I think it's Chinese, where there's the word is interchangeable. I can't remember what it is, and if I say it, I'll be wrong.
Crisis and opportunity, I think, isn't it?
Crisis, okay. Crisis and opportunity. The words are interchangeable because it's true. Every crisis provides an opportunity. The humankind is in crisis, but the state of this globe is in crisis and provides us with the opportunity to heal it because we know what the crisis is. And the crisis really is because our governments are out of control. There's a system above our governments. The governments are basically puppet institutions that are run by cartels above the governments. But the governments provide us an opportunity. They provide us a doorway with which to reach these cartels and which to deactivate these cartels by acknowledging that that's where our governments are. And we have an opportunity to rein these people in by the crimes these governments are openly committing now. That's the thing. The system is so open now, it's so in your face, and the crimes of these people are apparent for all to see. You can't debate these points. It's not even a debatable point. You know,
no.
According to international law, there's war crimes being carried out right now by all of our governments, and this gives us the opportunity to pay attention and do something about this. We can save a massive amount of human life. We can save a massive amount of environmental degradation and destruction to our own countries through fracking and all of the other things that these governments are up to. We can prevent all of this from happening if we choose to pay attention to this problem and choose to embrace the opportunity that this problem is providing for us, because the crimes of these people is so apparent now that it cannot be debated. That's the thing. This is a golden opportunity for mankind. We just have to pay attention. And I'm hoping that we will, you know, because we can change the direction the global ship of state is sailing right now if we choose to rein our governments back in and put these people under control and even hold them accountable for their actions if people want to do that. I'd be happy if they just go away. I reckon we could get them all, put them all on Christmas Island. I was saying on a show...
Not a bad idea.
we need to make war illegal, and if a political party wants to have a war, like, you know, if Barack Obama's party wants to go to war with... Assad's party in Syria, then we'll put both political parties on Christmas Island. We'll give every member of the party a hammer and they can have their war.
Sure.
We don't want the politicians and bankers want wars, not the people, so we should stop participating.
Yeah. Well, it's the old saying, all wars are bankers' wars. One interesting point is I remember many years ago as a little boy, I mean, this was decades ago, I saw an ad where they said, wasn't if we had Warsaw where we just had the politicians, we just had the leaders of the country go in a boxing ring and then go bare knuckles at each other. So one of them, you know, if they want to fight, okay, there's a boxing ring, you know, you can go bare knuckles, you know, fight to the bitter end until one of you guys or both of you die. It's not going to be a big loss.
Exactly.
You know, I thought that was
That's
interesting. Remember, I saw that one time. And this was like 40 years ago, and it still stuck out in my mind. And I also remember there was a quote that, what if we had a war and no one came? What happens, you know, the president orders us to go to war, and the soldiers say, no, we're not going to go. Well, we got no problems with the Syrians or the Iranians, you know. You want to go fight? Go fight. You know?
Exactly.
You know, because the people that are for the wars never fight the wars. And I get so disgusted when I see all these people who are cheerleading for wars. They're not going to go fight. Go fight the war, you cowards. Go do it yourself. Stop sending a bunch of poor young kids, you know, who join the military to get to pay for their college. Stop sending them to go fight the wars for you. Do it yourself. Do the dirty work yourself. I'm tired of you having someone else do it.
Exactly. Get Barack and every politician that voted yes for strikes on Syria, they put them in battle fatigues, give them a truck and send them on in. Off you go, boys. Enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. My feeling's exactly. Anyone that's for war, go fight it. You know, at least if you have some gung-ho kid who's all for war and he signed up for the military, at least, of course, he doesn't know what he's getting involved in, but at least he's not a hypocrite. But, you know, it's like, look, you're for war, go fight it. You know,
let's do something about this by all getting to know our communities and getting a strong communal response and standing up and indicting all of our governments for war crimes, replacing these criminals with honest people, forming an actual United Nations and making one international law whereby war is illegal. We've been given a golden opportunity to do this. If it can't be done, well, it can. With global participation of the people, we could do this. You know, we've got blatant criminals running this planet. We've got all the proof we need that this is happening. And if we choose to stand up and call a spade, we can heal the world very, very quickly. And we've been given every opportunity to do it. You know, that's the only international law you need, is that war is illegal. Anyone who institutes a war of aggression goes straight to jail. That's it. Put them on Christmas Island. We don't want them as part of our society. They can go and live there with the other war criminal politicians. You know, that's what we need to do. And we've been given every opportunity to do this. And if we don't stand up and do something about it, then the world's just going to get worse. And we can do it peacefully if we've got a strong, respectful communal response. That's all we need. We don't need war. We don't need violent revolution. We don't need anything. You know, if the whole community stood up, even the police would pay attention. Even these brain-dead thugs would pay attention, because there's a lot of good cops. There are a lot of good police officers who really join the police force because they want to do the right thing. They want to protect their societies. You know, the problem is that they think the system's real. You know, but if we've got a strong communal response to this global situation, then even the police are going to listen. You know, people are going to wake up and pay attention if things are presented to them in the right way. You know, sure, we may need leaders in as much as we need spokespeople, but people just have to see the truth for themselves, and everybody can be a spokesperson. You know, all we're doing is calling a spade. That's all I've done on this show is call a spade. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the reason I've had so much success with the radio show, I think, is because all I've ever done is talk common sense. Mm-hmm. Because it's just all common sense. It's blatantly obvious, all the stuff that I say on the shows. You know, we can heal the world very quickly if we choose to pay attention. So, you know, I just don't want to see the world get worse. I want to see people embrace the opportunities that we're given, because we've been given opportunities like never before in history. Right now, right at this time, we've been given opportunities like never before, and there are thousands of people suffering to give us these opportunities. And we can alleviate all this. We can heal things very, very quickly if we just choose to take the blinkers off, get rid of all these little boxed perspectives that we've got, and look at the whole thing as one big picture. See what the problem is and see what the solution is, because the problem is very obvious and the solution is very simple. And it's everything that I've said on the show today. This is how we heal the world, and we can all do it. We just have to choose to participate. Stop waiting for a leader. You know, I can't lead people. Other people can't lead you. There are no leaders. There are no gurus. It's you. You are your own salvation. You just have to know yourself and choose to step into your power. Speak your mind. Say the right thing and go by your moral compass in all that you do. And if the people around you don't follow, well, I'm sure others will. I'm sure others will soon get the point and I'll start to follow suit. And I don't mean follow as in follow you, but to follow suit, to start doing this themselves, start doing the right thing, you know, and start operating according to moral parameters. Things will change if we do that. You know, a strong communal response could heal the world in a day. And we could replace all of these governments very, very quickly simply by calling them out for the crimes they've committed, which are blatantly obvious, even under their own legislation. It's not a debatable point. It's right there in front of everybody to see. Replace them with honest people. Anybody who wants to, you probably get people who don't want the job, respectful people in your community who really don't want to be part of the government, but they're people of strong moral fiber. They're the guys you need. Anybody who wants the job probably isn't suitable. That's the problem with politicians. They all really, really want the job. That's because they want control. Now, anybody who really, really wants to be a politician is simply not suitable for the job. You know, that's the unfortunate reality because of the system we've got, because the political system we've got affords power to those who are in the system. You don't need people who have power. You need responsible people who can run the infrastructure in a responsible manner, who will be rewarded for their actions, not people who are granted power over their population. And that's what we've got, and that's a huge problem. So we need to change that system straight away. and just make war illegal. That'd be a big start. And we have the opportunity to do that because all of our governments are committing war crimes. It's created this whole state of chaos that we're seeing, leading to what it could eventually be World War III if we don't pay attention.
Yeah.
And this is giving us an opportunity to heal it. Don't step into that reality. Step into a new one. We've got everything available for us. All the tools we need are right here on the table. We just have to pick them up.
Yeah. I think it's very important we realize that it can be that simple. And that because I think one of the problems, people feel overwhelmed because they think it's so complex. And just to think in terms of simplicity, again, this is something I've been very much guilty of, where I've been, you know, personally, many times been very much overwhelmed by this, but you get to the point where you see the simplicity behind it. And just like their system is based on basically divide and rule, lying to everybody, playing on everyone off against everyone else, parasitizing everyone, you know, so they can bring in even more insanity, you know, false faith. Their system is based on just a few basic, simple ideas. If you really get down to it, if you see the simplicity of what they're doing, you can see the simplicity of the response where just like refusing to go along and, you know, just working together at a local level and, you know, people supporting each other. And it can be that simple because I think a lot of the reason that people shy away from misinformation, they feel overwhelmed by it. And, you know, and so because they feel overwhelmed, they, you know, it's like, I don't want to deal with it. I've got to go to work. I don't want to deal with this. I think I'll just watch football instead and not think about this. Because they think it's overwhelming. Yeah. They think it's something so immense that there's nothing they can do, and they might as well just enjoy their time and not worry about it. And then, you know, when they go haul them off to concentration camp, they'll deal with it then, but by then it'll be too late.
Well, the problem is that a lot of them, you know, when they hear things like what I just said, they do see the simplicity of it, and it scares the hell out of them because they realize that if they were to actually turn and make a stand and have a voice and take responsibility, they could heal things. And they realize that the reason it's not going to change is because they're not prepared to do that, and they go into fear.
They're afraid of their own power. They're afraid of taking responsibility, you're saying.
Well, they are. People say they want freedom, but they don't want to be responsible. They don't want to have the responsibility for their actions. And freedom is 100% responsibility for your own actions. That's what freedom is. Freedom is you taking 100% responsibility for your own life. That is freedom. You know, and people don't want to be responsible for themselves. They don't want to believe that they have the power to affect change because that means they may be responsible if that change doesn't happen. And that scares the hell out of them. They don't want to blame themselves, and they don't want to have to participate. They want to see the world change, but they don't want to have to participate. They want to hear that everyone's listened to Max's shows, and everyone went out and did what he said, and they all created these communities, and they all did all this stuff, and they formed big communities throughout the planet, you know, and formed the whole planet into a global community. They reined the government in while I sat here and watched TV and read all about it and heard it on the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to have to actually go and do it themselves. They just want to read that the world has all changed. Max has fixed it now. You know, well, it doesn't work that way. You know, people have to participate. And they're scared of the power that they have because they see the simplicity of how quickly we could change the world, and they see the opportunities that we're being provided with, you know. But the problem is people look at it and they start getting their political agendas start getting in the way. Oh, well, the war crimes of Israel. Well, you know, Gaza shouldn't be firing these rockets and Hamas. Forget about Gaza and Hamas and forget about Israel. Forget about the government. Forget about all of this stuff. Think of it as different. It's a corporate system anyway. It's one big department store. Okay, we've got one department store here that's trashing another department store, breaking every crime in the book. All of our governments are supporting it. People are dying. This gives us an opportunity to fix this corporate system. All right, regardless of who is what your belief of what Hamas is, what your belief of what Israel is, what your belief of who anybody's religion is or what anybody's political views are or anything. It's all irrelevant. It's all fiction. It's all there to divide and conquer. That's what it's all about. So you'd be sitting there arguing about all these finer points of who's right and who's wrong. Well, what's wrong is killing people. What's wrong is war. And that is what is right. Okay? What's right is that is wrong. And what's wrong is that is happening on the planet right now. And what is right is that we have an opportunity provided by this crime to fix that crime. Right now, we have an opportunity. That's what's right. That's all we really need to look at. Worry about all the other stuff later. It's all irrelevant. It's all there to distract you and divide you. We've got an opportunity here to heal this planet. And we've got so many problems. We've got so many things to deal with. What we have to do is find something, some mechanism which is going to give us a foothold in the door where we can start to control our public trustees who are writing the legislation which are, is allowing this corporate rape of our planet to continue. And what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening there right now in Gaza and Palestine is giving us that opportunity. That's why I keep focusing on it. That's why I keep coming back to it. It's just, it's golden. It's such a golden opportunity. And people are dying to provide us with this opportunity, and we need to seize this opportunity and put down all of our political views regarding it. That's irrelevant. What's relevant is the opportunity it's providing us with. I can't stress this enough. I'm sorry if I'm coming back to this so much and pushing it so hard, but to me it is such an important point, you know, and it's providing us with everything we need, you know what I mean?
No. Well, I think it's important to repeat the point over and over to really drive it into people, because if you can say to people, look, let's just focus on this one thing, let's make progress here, let's go this one point, then that can change everything. Where it's like, as opposed to saying, well, let's work on these 15 things. No, let's work on one thing. Let's, you know, just focus on one thing. There's a lot to be said for that as a way, and I know that there's been this big BDS movement, you know, of boycotting, you know, Israeli products and so forth, where you're making clear, you know, what's going on that you know and that you don't support what's happening,
all of this is good. The BDS movement, it's all great, but it's not going to achieve anything. This is what I'm saying. It's getting rid of all of this stuff and sitting back and taking the blinkers off and realizing that what we've got to find, and we've got a serious situation with everything you're talking about, eugenics, chemtrails, Fukushima, everything. We got so many things to deal with. And what we have to do to deal with it is find that mechanism that we can use which can give us control of our governments, some mechanism we can use to regain control of our governments. And that's what Palestine provides for us because of the war crimes of Israel, our government supporting this war crime. This gives us a mechanism under international law and under legislation in our own countries by which an empowered population could regain control of their governments. You see, if you look at it that way, forget about whether it's you support Palestine or Israel or the BDS or anything. Look at the opportunity it provides us legally. If you believe the legal system's real, I mean, I don't, but a lot of people do, 99% of the planet does. So, okay, here's a legal opportunity for us to regain control of our governments. This is a mechanism that we can use to regain control of these people, at which point we can start addressing all of the other issues that we face that have been happened at the hands of these people. What we're looking for in all of this whole alternate media culture is the mechanism we can use to gain a foothold back in control of our governments. And that's what this Palestinian-Israeli issue provides for us. Can you see what I'm saying here from that perspective?
Yeah. So how exactly would that be implemented? I'm a little foggy. I understand. So how would we hold Israel accountable for the crimes it's committing against the Palestinian people?
Well, Israel's committing crimes against the Palestinian people under the Geneva Convention. It's not a debatable point. The use of flash bombs, white phosphorus, blowing up of ambulances, mosques, schools, collective punishment, the settlement program, so many war crimes, it's ridiculous. And the problem is that when we try to address this, we petition our governments, they go and they talk to the United Nations, America and Israel veto whatever decision's made, so it's a stacked deck right from the very beginning. What you'll find is you've got legislation in your constitution, you've got legislation somewhere in your government, which says that your government can't support a government that's carrying out war crimes or cannot be involved in war crimes. Your government is actually in breach of international law under the Geneva Convention by supporting Israel because Israel is carrying out brutal war crimes right now under the Geneva Convention. So even that, because your government claims to uphold international law, you know, the people themselves could say, hey, we've decided we want to respect international law. If you had every country on this planet whose government is supporting Israel decide that they, the people of this world, say, hey, we believe in the, all this international law stuff, just for the day or whatever, you know, and we want to use that because these governments are carrying out war crimes. We've got legislation here. Section 80.1 of the Australian Constitution says that my government cannot support a government that's supporting war crimes, basically. That provides the people of Australia an opportunity to rein this government in because of its open support of war crimes. This gives us a foot in the door. Now we've got control of our government again. We've blatantly shown that they are involved in war crimes. So what else are they involved in? Let's open the books and see by putting some honest people in power, because obviously these guys are war criminals. I mean, it's obvious, you know what I'm saying? The people have got an opportunity to do this. This is a blatant war crime. This gives all of our people, all of our governments, you know, it gives us a huge opportunity, I believe, and we should seize it. We should do it. This is a foot in the door anyway. You know, if people can realize this is happening, if the people of America realize that there are war crimes being carried out, regardless of what your views on who is right or wrong, there are war crimes being carried out by your government and you're living in poverty to support these war crimes because of the massive military spending that's been done to support them,
sure.
The massive amounts that America gives Israel, which is carrying out war crimes. That mm-hmm. itself is a war crime.
True.
I mean, come on, America, wake up. You know, wake up and rein your government in. And the people of Australia, wake up. Wake up and do something about supporting these war crimes. Let's get these people back under control so we can stop living in hardship and stop living in poverty. Let's look at this system for what it is. Let's lay it bare. Let's open all the books of everything and figure this thing out because the world's going in a very, very bad direction. And nobody wants it to go in, but nobody's prepared to stand up and look at the opportunities we provide. I think this is a golden opportunity. If someone's got a better one, hey, I'm all ears. Let's go. I'll go there. I'll do it. Whatever. Let's do it. Whatever. But we need to seize every opportunity we can and make a difference here. You know, because if we don't, well, we get what we get. And it'll be our own fault because this whole situation has been created through our lack of attention. So it's time we paid attention and started seeing all these problems as opportunities. And
yeah,
I think that the situation in the Middle East is the most golden opportunity we've ever had.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. The reason we have these problems is because we haven't been paying attention in the first place. It's like, you know, someone, you know, like they get way overweight. They did it because they weren't paying attention. At one point they were 5 pounds overweight. Then they were 7 and then 8 and then 10. And they weren't paying attention. And now 10 years down the road, they're, you know, 85 pounds overweight or something like that. You know, problems don't just spring out of nowhere. They gradually build as a general rule, just like the example of the car where something is a little bit off. You hear a rattling, and it's like, I don't want to deal with this. And then 2-3 weeks later, you're told you need to replace your engine or something like that, and you're looking at a $2,000 bill. And what's happened is because we haven't paid attention that things have gotten to this point. And this is the system is set up to suppress information. This is why they control the media and the education by and large. So that way they can get, you know, they can get us to ignore these things and the problem become bigger and bigger until we basically get to a point where what could have been a small problem has become a huge problem.
Exactly. It was a great analogy there you said as well, like getting overweight to getting 10 pounds overweight and 20 pounds and then you're 85 pounds overweight. Sounds like the government, really, doesn't it? The government's gotten massively overweight in the last few presidencies. They keep expanding government. I thought it was supposed to be a limited-sized government, small government, you know. But all of our governments seem to have gotten massively overweight, haven't they?
Okay. I have another caller. Let's see if they want to join in the call. Just a second here.
Sure.
Hello?
Hello. Hello. Hi. My name's Robin, and hello, Max.
Hi, Robin. How are you, darling?
I'm doing wonderful. My goodness. I wanted to share something with you, my own kind of little observation and perceptions that I've been kind of watching, because I've been awake the moment I was conceived. I think
good
the stork left me on the wrong planet or the wrong country or whatever. But anyway.
Maybe the right one. Anyway, okay.
I was taking a walk a couple of days ago, and I go into these deep meditations when I go out walking. And all of a sudden, these words started coming to me. Blinded by belief. Blinded by belief. What does that mean to me and to humanity? Because I'm seeing a lot of this chaos and this violence coming from belief. And
exactly.
Whether it's a religion or whether it's economics or political or scientific or astronomy, whatever it is, there's like all this dogma and all this doctrine and all this belief that people, humanity has been like encased in, And I feel like when one can break free of belief, one's mind is able to expand and to be able to embrace not only oneself and your connection with all life, but you're free to be who you are as a human being, and you're free to not have to comply to things that are going contrary to your moral compass.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that belief is a big obstacle for most of human beings, because a lot of their decisions and all of their thoughts and their processes are coming from a place that someone else possibly had created and somehow injected into their mind, and then they somehow think that that was something that they came up with on their own. Does that make sense to you?
No, that makes that's an excellent point. To Max, and we can talk about that. I think that's a wonderful point. Thank you for bringing that up. Thank you very much, Robin.
Okay, have a good evening now. Love you, Max, and love you too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I think so much.
Absolutely brilliant. Brilliant observation, absolutely brilliant observation, because it is all about belief. It is. And that's called education. That's what they do. And people's belief on what is and is not possible is based on their understanding of language, usually, because they're trained to think in language through the left brain education system. So they have no real concept of what is possible. And the only thing that's impossible is what you believe is impossible. And the human potential is phenomenal. It's far more than what people would expect it to be.
Well,
and
also,
exactly what you said, people's belief is what locks them into this whole matrix.
Exactly. And one point I was thinking about the previous caller, where he was talking about, this police officer who had this insane job of making sure no one fed this woman so she would die of starvation. And what kind of beliefs that this guy would have to have, where it's like, basically that authority is always right, it's our job to always obey authority. You can imagine the kind of beliefs this guy must have had to have, enforced an order like that, as opposed to telling the judge or his police officer boss, no, I'm not going to do it. I mean, think about the beliefs that guy had to have. Excuse me?
Well, the key word there is authority, That's the key word, authority. The belief that authority is real. It's not.
Exactly.
It's just an idea. It's a concept.
Exactly.
A sticker on my laptop says question authority. You should question authority every single opportunity to question it, especially if it causes you to stray outside your moral compass. If someone believes they have authority, if people believe they have the authority over you to cause you to step outside your moral compass, you've got a severe problem. And the problem is yours, that you believe this authority is real. Why on earth would you do something like that? If you're given an order to step outside your moral compass, you have a moral obligation, especially if you're a police officer, to arrest that person for giving you that order, that immoral order.
And there right there is a solution. If we just simply said, look, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to sit there and prevent this woman. I'm not going to cause this woman to starve to death. It's like I said, once we had a war and no one came. And the point is, if people simply went with their moral compass, it's a pretty simple thing. There's a lot of these things are quite black and white. Example. What?
I've said on the show, ad nauseum, that if we operate according to moral parameters rather than legal parameters, we'll heal the world in a day. I've made that same phrase. I must have said it so many times that people are sick of it. But that's it. Do that, and you heal the world. It's as simple as that. Change your perspective. Change the way you operate. Now, realize that we constructed this system. Mankind, if you really want to get philosophical about it, you could say, okay, well, there was an ultimate creator, call it God, whatever you will. God created man, and we created everything below that. Everything that we have constructed, be it buildings or society or law or legal or anything, is a construct of us. We created the whole thing. We made it all up, the whole thing. So we created this system to service our needs. If this system is causing you to discard or hurt mankind to service the system, then you have an obligation to question that, because we didn't create the system to hurt mankind. We created it to serve mankind. If there's legislation within this system which causes hurt to mankind, then you have a moral obligation to disregard and disobey that legislation and find out who wrote it and put them where they belong, because they obviously have no moral compass. And we don't need people who don't have strong moral compasses in positions of authority, in positions of power, you know. So we need to reevaluate what this system is and what our relationship to this system is. The system is there to serve us because it is our creation. You know, man created the government. Man created the system. The system created the government. The government created legislation. The legislation created the police force. All this stuff is way down the food chain. We are man. We created the whole thing. We need to remember that and readjust our perspective of who and what we are, what this government is. It's simply a group of people we employ to manage our infrastructure in a responsible manner, and they're doing a damn awful job, and they're getting away with it because we're not paying attention. So it's time we paid attention, because if we don't, well, the earth is kind of heading for the cliff at the moment. And
yeah,
it's about time we pulled the reins in and turned ourselves in a new direction, I think, in order to save not only ourselves, but everything else. I mean, the earth will go on. The earth will survive. We're not going to hurt the earth. We won't ever kill the earth. What we'll do is we'll temporarily destroy this earth's ability to support human life, and we'll kill ourselves. And then the earth will recover, and probably something else will come along, and the experiment will fail. And that would be a great shame.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it comes down to such simple things as morals. And I think it's very important to really think about that it can be thought of in such simple terms as this. And to think about these terms, but just if we did the right thing and we know what the right thing is, I mean, we're not even, in cases like this, we're not talking shades of gray or, oh, what's the right thing? It's not brain surgery. It's like, you know, there's some very obvious things. And just like if we did that, if we weren't blinded by belief, to quote the last caller, which I think is exactly right, where people, this is why you have an elite that controls the education, controls the media, controls religion. So that way they can have people blinded by belief. So it's like all of a sudden they can't see the obvious. They can't follow their own moral compass. You absolutely positively need to have that in order for you to have a system like this. Because people who have their own moral compass, they're going to know. It's not that tough to figure out. This is not brain surgery.
Exactly, you know, and that was a brilliant caller. It was a wonderful perspective to offer, because that's exactly the problem. People's blinded by their belief. And a lot of it is what I refer to as the social and economic pathogens, and the fact that people are measuring themselves and they're measuring other people according to other people's parameters, ideas
sure.
that aren't their own. The education system that's trained them that they must respect authority, that's trained them not to rock the boat, not to rock the status quo, have religious beliefs. We have doctrines that are written down by other people in books that are not your own. They're not your perspective of view. They're not your perspective of reality. And even when we go searching through philosophical books, all people can do, all the great philosophers even, all they can do, and they may have great stuff to say, but all they can really do is offer you their perspective in the hope that you'll discover your own. Because that's really what it's about. It's all inside. But even when you're reading those books, very often you're taking on their reality and you're making it your own. And really it's about your own reality, and that's not your belief, it's theirs. So what do you believe? The only thing that you're ever an authority on is yourself. That's the only thing
sure.
that you'll ever know completely is yourself. All the rest
okay.
of it is speculation. Even
okay.
what I offer, all I can offer people in my shows and everything I offer is my perspective based on the information that's come to me and what I've been able to glean from that information and the view that I've created of it. But it's my view, it's my perspective. That's all I can offer. That's all I will ever have to offer is my perspective.
Okay.
And it's
Max,
important to remember that with everybody, that's all they're offering you is their perspective.
Absolutely. Okay, Max, we've got about a minute and a half left. I want to see, is there any information you want to give out to people, how they can contact you, about your show, about your website, anything you wanted to mention?
Well, my website is thecrowhouse.com. You'll find everything I do there. I do a radio show once a week, which is always posted to the Crow House. I'm also organizing a thing called the Full Circle Project, which is going to be launched in earnest next year, which is going to be workshops that are designed to bring this type of information and hopefully empower communities off around the planet. We really want to get people on board and get people motivated into action in their local communities. So I've got a bunch of speakers I'm lining up for that, and workshops and something hands-on that people can get involved in. So you'll find a link on the website to the Full Circle Project. You can go and check that out. Sign up to the mailing list if you would. Sign up to the forums and start discussing things with people, how you can create improvement in your area. And, yeah, there's a lot on. So it's all on crowhouse.com. You'll find everything that I do, everything about me there.
Okay. Okay, and so your website, once again, is thecrowhouse.com. And with that, we're going to end this episode of True North. Thank you very much, Matt. Thank you very much. And this is Roger North signing off for True North. Thank you. Goodbye.